from Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session. JPR Live sessions are recorded with Audix microphones. Audix, when sound matters. My guest today is a Juno Award-winning singer and songwriter originally from Canada, whose latest record and records, I should say, are called Both Ways and the Other Way. Donovan Woods is here. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I mentioned both records, and we'll circle back around to this in a few minutes, because they are essentially the same. It's the same collection of songs anyway.
Same songs, yeah.
But a lot different treatment.
Yeah.
I want to start by going way back in time and talking about Color to Color. Which
it's a deep dive.
Which is like, you were what, like 7 or 8 years old, right? It was like a family band with like your sister?
My sister and our two friends. We were a hip hop R&B rap group.
I bet that was hot.
Called Color to Color. We had a cause too. We were trying to end racism, which is
that's the part that I love, is that at 7 and 8 you were writing songs about social issues.
Protest songs, yeah. We weren't able to do it, unfortunately. maybe everyone's noticed. We weren't able to end racism. But it was that was the goal, for sure.
Yeah. But until Donovan Woods, the singer and songwriter, came about as a solo artist, that was probably the most famous band ever from Sarnia, Ontario.
Well, that might be true. It might be true.
For folks that don't know or have not heard of that place, we're talking about, what, about an hour northeast of Detroit?
Yeah, right? About an hour away from Detroit, yeah.
And what's Sarnia like as a place?
Sarnia is much like that whole area of the U.S. and Canada is industrial. It's big time. It's a petrochemical town. Mm-hmm. Everybody works in a petrochemical plant. It's a super blue-collar country music working town.
Now, did you grow up with access to like Detroit radio?
Yeah, that's the first thing we heard. That's that's why our group was a hip hop group when we were kids. The first thing we heard was 88.9, which is a R&B and hip hop, which is playing Belle Biv DeVoe and Another Bad Creation. And that was the first stuff we heard, was that stuff. Yeah, was Belle Biv DeVoe and R&B and that stuff.
How did you get the songwriting bug in the form we know you as?
Well, I just started playing guitar, and it really was default. It was just what does a type of music that a guy who looks like me with a guitar play? And my dad was a big Paul Simon guy, and we went to folk festivals when I was a kid in Canada. And I remember seeing Emmylou Harris and a guy named Fred Eaglesmith from Canada. We saw a lot. My dad was a big, what's called a Fredhead. Likes Fred Eaglesmith a lot, and. I loved those people. I saw just how much people adored those people, and I thought, oh, I should do that, and then everybody will love me. That's really the goal.
Is that working out?
Yeah, it's helping.
So what came first for you, really? The strumming, learning how to play the guitar, or were you actually writing songs before you could play?
I was writing songs. As a kid, I was writing lyrics. I was writing rap lyrics all the time. And also, before I played the guitar, I wrote what were ostensibly were going to be lyrics, but it was just poetry, I guess. I wrote that all the time. And I sang. My mom was a singer and is a singer, and she sang to us like crazy. So I was always singing. So when I started to play the guitar, it just was logical to sing with it too.
Yeah. Well, the new records, both of them, both ways, that sounds grammatically weird, both ways and both. The other way. They're absolutely beautiful collections of songs.
Thank you.
And thanks. I'm so thrilled you're here. What do you want to play for us first?
I'm going to play Another Way first.
Oh, beautiful. This is Donovan Woods playing live here at JPR.
Got married at a hotel in Michigan. I didn't think it was something I was gonna do again. Well, nobody ever said it was my second one, no. But nobody said it wasn't. In the rental car console, there's a diamond ring. And we slept in on a California. All the guilty feelings that's gonna bring. But we're staring at the ceiling, just breathing in. And slowly the waves are gonna roll the other way. Another way. Someday I wanna be another way. Another way. Another way. Someday I won't be another way. Another way. In the morning we'll drive over that Great Lake shimmering. And at the border they're gonna ask which country we're living in. And I'm gonna say we got hitched out down here at the curb. And you'll dig out the certificate. Right there on your left hand is that diamond ring, and you spin it on your finger whenever you're thinking about all the guilty feelings this kind of thing could bring. I know nobody gets to begin again, still we're trying everything we can. Slowly the waves are gonna roll the other way, another way. Someday I won't be another way, another way, another way. Someday I won't be another way. And by the time she let me go and kind of hummed and I don't know and sent me to bed with a hug, the sound of a shrug. Finally, every language, every country, they know exactly what she said, but she didn't know what she meant. Something I was gonna do again, love. I know.
That one comes from the record called Both Ways.
Nailed it, didn't I?
Donovan Woods is my guest. Both Ways is the record. DonovanWoods.net is the place to go online for that one. The same song appears on another record, The Other Way. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. You were recently on the World Cafe with Talia Schlanger, another fellow Canadian.
Yeah.
And she made a statement that resonated with me, which is that she was telling the story about going to one of your shows with somebody she knew. And after every song, the person that she was with, who was unfamiliar with Donovan Woods, just said, wow. And I get it. I understand the feeling, because the songs, the record is so easy to listen to from song to song. You know, it definitely, there's a place for that song, you know, that songwriting, that sound.
Yeah.
And you are so comfortable in your skin singing and playing in that way that it's just really easy to listen to and to connect with.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm trying to make it easy, I think. That's part of the goal for me.
Does songwriting and performing come easy to you?
Performing isn't super, I don't have a lot of anxiety about it. I'm like anybody, I don't like the way I look, you know, like the way anybody does. I feel like self-conscious about that. If I didn't have to have a body, I would love to, I love public speaking. I like talking in front of a group of people, that thrills me. Really the most exciting part to me in the green room is like, I don't think I get to go out there and share songs. I'm excited about going out and just talking to a lot of people and seeing what happens and seeing what the feeling is like. So I like performing, yeah. Hmm.
A few years back, you moved from Canada to Nashville and started work as an actual songwriter, right? Mm-hmm. You got a job with Warner Chappell in Nashville.
Yeah.
What is that day job like? I mean, do you wake up at 8 and pour yourself a cup of coffee and sit down with a pad and pencil?
I don't do that. People do that. I mean, when I'm there in Nashville and when I'm having a writing period or a writing week, it really is like, you know, it's a day job. You meet up with two other people or one other person. Everybody, The town start time is 11 a.m., which is a very strange time to start anything, but nobody wants to make it any earlier than that. So it's everybody starts at 11, and then before you know it, it's lunch, and then you haven't done anything, and then you finish the song by like 4 or 5. If it's really a good song, you'll chase it into the night, or you'll save it for another day. It really is sort of like a day thing. It's
and then
interesting.
When you've got one done, then what do you do with it?
Well, so often, you know, you submit it to your publisher, and your publisher goes, okay, you know, we know that you're writing songs or doing what you're supposed to be doing. But, you know, it's nobody chases you for it or anything. Nobody's like, it's all very casual. They understand that artists are going to go through periods of submitting stuff and not submitting stuff. And it doesn't feel very high pressure. I think some people put a lot of pressure on themselves to write good songs. If I write 2 unassailable songs in a year, I'm pretty happy with that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, just 2 songs that I think there's nowhere on earth where I could go and play this where people wouldn't think, at least enjoy it, which yeah. I think is like, that's the goal for me. But I don't put too much pressure on myself to be cranking out new things every day, for sure.
I think your batting average is pretty good.
It's okay. Yeah. I feel like there's 2 or 3 unassailable ones.
Yeah, well, there have been a couple for sure that have caught wings. One of them recorded by Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you write country songs, or do you feel like you write songs that people turn into country songs?
That's a good question. I think that the more I got to know the genre, and I knew it as a kid, but only in like an Alan Jackson, Garth Brooks way, like the really
superstars,
the super yeah. proper stuff, and then Shania, of course. But going back and listening to the stuff that I got into as an adult. Porter Wagoner and Glenn Campbell and, I think that probably I do write songs that are in the tradition of country and folk songs for sure. And I think that, country is an ever-changing thing. It's like that Steve Earle, when Steve Earle had the #1 country album, and he has a story of somebody saying, that's, you know, somebody yelling at him at a concert, play something country and Western. And he was like, I have the #1 country album in the country. I say what's country music for the next little while. And I think that's sort of the true. It's the same
it's
thing.
Probably
it's
like, a gesture involved with that, too, when he said it. I would imagine no so. Steve Earle. I
imagine it was quite rude. But I think it is sort of like the history of music is just like war. It's told by the winners, and the genre is directed towards the people that are making the most money at that time. But yeah. I think at the heart of what I do is country music, and I do love it. So I'm never like bothered by the moniker country or Americana. It's never bothered me. I think it's just all one thing in a way.
You said something really interesting about becoming a performer, which is that as a performer, as a guitar player and a singer on stage, you don't have to let your work go. Those unrecorded songs that you wrote and then just sat on a shelf that nobody was interested in. You don't have to ever let them go.
Yeah.
You can pick them up and do them yourself.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many people in Nashville who write for a living and they have an artist career where they go and, you know, they go play their writer's rounds and they play their hit songs that they've written. And you're lucky if you have like 5. If you have like 5 or 6 hit songs, you go to the Hall of Fame. Like, you don't have to write that many, really. And I feel like there are so many songs that they write and they love and they just don't really get to see it. They don't get to play it out and they don't get to see people connect with it. And I do feel really lucky to have an outlet for those songs that nobody seems to like that I can keep for myself and put them out.
Does the songwriting process start to snowball? You know, like when you have one that gets recorded by a big name and it becomes a, you know, minor hit and you're out making a name for yourself as a performer and your awareness increases, does that drive more demand for output?
Yes and no. I think like... But you mean does it drive me to want to write more?
Or constantly? Does it drive more people to inquire you've got?
Oh, yes, I think so. I think I mean, there are artists like Laurie McKenna is a great example of that.
From great songwriter Boston, and singer, yeah.
Maybe the best, and maybe the best one going. And I think her hits for other people drive people to her shows. I don't think my songs have been, like, prominent enough to do that. But I do think there is some part of the mythology that people like about me is that I'm a songwriter to a certain extent, which is, like, there's a weird mythology of that. That's like if you're in the know, you're in the know. And I think that's an interesting thing to people, you know, when they hear, you know, that's the thing about Lori that's fun too, is that you know all these hit songs. You go, well, this woman wrote them, and this is like a mother of five from Boston. This is the woman behind the woman, and I think there's a cool mythology to that people are attracted to for sure.
Yeah, Donovan Woods is my guest in the studio today. His new record is called Both Ways, with an alternate version, an acoustic version released called The Other Way. DonovanWoods.net is the web address. Will you play us another tune?
Yeah, sure. This is one actually that. Is the one I feel lucky to have an outlet for, because nobody liked it.
No kidding? Really?
Well, it was held for a couple of people, and they passed on it in the end. So, I'm happy to be able to put it out myself.
What's it called?
It's called Next Year.
My brother and me used to climb this tree, and we were gonna build a little clubhouse about 10 feet off the ground. We drew the whole thing up. We needed wood in our dad's truck, but he was out of work that summer. The truck only had one gear. He said, "We'll do next year." My buddies and me, we held this dream. We were gonna rent this cabin way up in Montana, and we were gonna fish. We had the date all picked. Then my old man got sick, the plan kinda disappeared. But we'll do next year. Another day down, another week gone. You're always just talking about tomorrow. You can't beg, steal, borrow, or make time. So you make plans and hope for the best. Life moves on so damn fast. Another 12 months flies on by, you're still here. But it's never quite next year. My little boy and me, we were out to eat, and he said, "I can't wait till next year." And when I asked him why, he said, "'Cause we're going camping, we're going to the ball game, and we'll do all them other things you said we'd do next year." So when is it next year? Another day down, another week gone. You're always just talking about tomorrow. You can't beg, steal, borrow, or make time. So you make plans and hope for the best. Life moves on so damn fast. Another 12 months flies on by, you're still here. But it's never quite next year. No, it's never quite next year. Fading fast. He said, "I think I'd like to go see that Grand Canyon." So we just left, packed up the car and went. I called in sick to work. We drove till 3 a.m. 'cause there ain't no next year. Another day down, another week gone. You're always just talking about tomorrow. You can't beg, steal, borrow, or make time. So you make plans and hope for the best. Life moves on so damn fast. Another 12 months flies on by, you're still here. But it's never quite next year. It's never quite next year. It's never quite next year. It's never quite next year.
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure I could hear anybody else singing that song. That is called Next Year. Donovan Woods is
my
guest.
Kenny Chesney, wouldn't that be all right? Be okay, and I'd be
I'm
like,
sure that'd be okay for the retirement.
I'd be
fund.
Like on a Hawaiian island. It wouldn't bother me all that much.
Give that one to Carrie Underwood, right?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Donovan Woods playing live today in the studio. Music from the record called Both Ways. You mentioned earlier your self-consciousness about appearance. Every time I have seen you, you are either wearing a toque or a baseball hat.
Yeah.
And right now you're wearing a Mets hat, it looks like.
Yeah.
Which I find somewhat interesting because you are known somewhat for a song about, of all things, the Grey Cup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Explain the Grey Cup for folks who don't know what that even is. And you've written a song called Grey Cup Ring.
The Grey Cup is the championship trophy for the Canadian Football League, which is... The Canadian Football League is like sort of seems like an elaborate joke at times. Like, it's like someone's long form. Not, no respect to the people playing their hearts out in the CFL. I wish them all the best. But it, there's something about the CFL that's sort of funny to
like Flutie
everyone.
Came from there though, right?
Yeah, Doug Flutie. We had he came from
Warren
there.
Moon played in the CFL for a while.
Yes, he did. Yeah. I think we had the first professional black African-American quarterback. It was, in the CFL, too. I think it's like a Chuck Ealy, was it? No. Warren Moon was the first one.
Okay. Yeah. All right,
so,
yeah.
Progressive in its own way.
So not entirely a joke, but...
No. But, I mean, we did have two teams called the Rough Riders at the same time.
Right.
So, I mean, that's funny, no matter how you...
Spelled differently.
Was it spelled...
One was Rough Riders and the other one was Rough Riders.
Yes, yeah. I mean... We're splitting hairs.
I may know too much about the CFL, to be honest.
It's a lot of information.
Yeah. But is baseball your thing?
I love baseball. I love the literariness of baseball. I like the slowness of it. I like how much there is to dive into it. I like the characters of baseball. And I like hats. I just like hats, you know? But the CFL, the Grey Cup ring thing was my dad's cousin, does have a Grey Cup ring, and he would always brag about that. And I thought it sounded like a folk song, and so I wrote it. They ended up putting it on the broadcast and stuff. And
it was one of a number of syncs that you've had.
Yeah.
Yeah, for TV and film and stuff and commercial.
I got really taken advantage of for that one. I think I lived in this basement apartment. I think I sold it to them for I licensed it to them for I don't even want to look, but I think it was like $150.
Six-pack of beer.
Insane.
Well... You were nominated, I think, first for a Juno in 2017.
Yeah.
Nominated and won one in 2019 for, what was it, Contemporary Roots Album of the Year, which seems to be a good fit. It's a good description.
I think so. I mean, we could never find any other category that seemed to work. It seemed to be the best one that worked for me.
What kind of honor is that for a Canadian artist to win a Juno?
You know, people, you know, in America, it's funny, in Nashville, everyone always says... You know, when they say congratulations, and some people don't know what a Juno is, and other people will say, it's the Canadian Grammy. And I mean, really, the Grammy is the Canadian Grammy, in a way. But the Junos are its own really special thing. The thing, I was nominated for Songwriter of the Year a couple times, and that one is like, when you look at the list of the people who've won that, it's Joni Mitchell and Neil Young, and it's like, you know, people that aren't just Canadian heroes. It's Leonard Cohen. It's like, you know, it's people who are everybody's hero. So to be on a list like that is like, it's an incredible honor. It feels really good no matter what. And to win one, I feel super lucky to have won. It was on one of my biggest dreams was to win one of those. So I really do feel honored to win one.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks.
Before I let you go today, I want to talk about The Other Way. You are one of really just a few artists that I know over the last few years that release a studio record and then go right back in and create kind of a pared-down acoustic version of the same thing.
Yeah.
And you worked with a guy who was here recently, I believe, with Lara Lynn, Todd DeMardo.
Oh, yeah, he's Lara Lynn and him are a couple, I believe.
So what part of The Other Way is obviously Donovan Woods, the songs, but then what part of that record is the brain of Todd DeMardo?
Well, Todd plays... A large majority of the acoustic guitars on that. Todd is perhaps the best acoustic guitar player in the world. I would maybe... I think I would stick my neck out and say... I think he's... To play a strummed chord progression, there isn't anybody else I would rather hear play it. He's the guy playing the guitar at the beginning of Slow Burn by Casey Musgraves. The ease...
That is such a great record.
You can tell it's him immediately. Just the ease of his strumming and the, you know, anyway, when the thought came up to record an acoustic version of the record, because in Canada we're playing bigger spaces, so the Both Ways record, one of the goals was to make bigger songs that could fill up those spaces, because so many of my records before that were these tiny little songs, and when you're getting into like 1,000-seat auditoriums, you just really can't play these tiny little things. They just get sucked up by the room.
Yeah.
So to play these bigger arrangements, we wanted to make the new record have big sound so we could tour it effectively. And then, but I wanted the versions of those songs to exist as small songs too. And then when Todd said he would play the guitars on it and be involved, that's when I knew that we should do it, because he's just incredible.
Well, they're fantastic.
Thanks.
And it's interesting because some of the songs on Both Ways are not exactly big. You've got some small songs on that studio record as well, but they're still different. They're still transformed in a way.
Yeah, I gave him, you know, we talked and had a lot of communication, but certainly gave him enough leeway that he could change anything he wanted and change a key, change a tempo, whatever he liked.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're here. Donovan Woods is my guest today live here at JPR. The new record, Both Ways, is the studio version. The Other Way is the acoustic version. Information is online at donovanwoods.net. You said before we started today, you've got a brand new one for us.
Yeah, I have a brand new song. Just came out a couple weeks ago, yeah. It's called Way, Way Back.
Traffic lights, if I time this right, I can get back home and come back here and stay the night. And she's holding out for something cleaner than I might. And all that to say, she probably knows I ain't the guy. Oh, I'm dreaming about a day when somebody says, I don't want no tired lover in my bed. I don't want no tired lover in my bed. And yet, I know we go way, way back. With somebody to hold you, somebody who knows you. I know we go way, way back. Well, I never started all like I was supposed to. I know we go way, way back. I know we go way, way back. And it's based on fact. And I meditated on a girl, I can't change that. And someday we'll get houses on a quiet street. And we'll climb our windows late at night and finally meet. But it'll still feel wrong, and I'll still feel gone. And you'll find out who I'm talking about in all the songs. And I'll walk home with my shorts and a backpack. We'll always go as far as we've gone. And you know that's way. I know we go way, way back. With somebody to hold you, somebody who knows you. I know we go way, way back. Well, I never started over like I was supposed to. I know we go way, way back. I know we go way, way back. I know we go, yeah. I know we go. Size. I wanna wonder what it feels like. No, I might. If someone sighs, I wanna wonder what it feels like. Way, way back. With somebody to hold me, somebody who knows you. I know we go way, way back. Well, I never started over like I was supposed to. I know we go way.
That's a brand new one. Donovan Woods playing live in our studio today. DonovanWoods.net is the web address. Both Ways is the name of the new record. 2019 Juno Award-winning record for Contemporary Roots album. Donovan Woods, thanks again for coming by.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it very much.
JPR live sessions are supported by and recorded with Audix microphones. Located in Wilsonville, Oregon, Audix designs, engineers, and manufactures high-performing innovative products that contribute to the advancement of the professional audio industry.